listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. My name is Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for this time to come together and worship and praise you. And we thank you for this time of sharing with us your Spirit and your blessing. So, Lord, as we continue, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. Earlier this week, for some reason, I was kind of thinking about the famous people I've kind of met over my life. The list is quite short and rather unimpressive, to be honest. But I think back to the early 90s, and I managed to get a quick autograph from Oscar Robertson when I was playing at the Cole Bowl. He was the key speaker that year. And if you don't know who Oscar Robertson was, he was probably one of the best basketball players ever, certainly in the 1960s. So he was known as Mr. Triple Double. And so he was quite a good player. And there's, of course, when you think about celebrities, you think here in Sydney Mines, you think of the Barras, who are such a lovely family and wonderful people. And then others I think of, when I was going to school at Atlantic School of Theology, I saw Rob Lowe drive by in a car because he was filming a movie on the campus. And he's a small guy, though. You could hardly see his head through the window. But on top of that, I've met radio personalities. I've certainly met politicians, many politicians, as many of you have. I've met the last number of moderators of the United Church Canada. Bev and I had the chance to meet a very successful Olympic athlete, which was kind of exciting because we actually got to have an in-depth conversation with her, which is kind of special. When I was in Toronto once, I got a drive to the airport from a Hall of Fame Canadian football legend, so that was kind of neat to have a chance to chat with him. So I've met a few people. I've seen a few others from a distance. I've had the chance to have discussions with a couple of them and even ask them about their personal faith journey for those who are Christians and how it impacts their public life. And here's what I've discovered about each and every one of them that I've had a chance to encounter. They're human beings. Plain and simple, human beings. Most of them are even quite humble. Especially the ones who are Christian that I've had the chance to meet. But they're still human beings. They still have human weaknesses, who make human mistakes, and they're people who need help. Just like me, just like all of us. Now, sure, some of them have made it to the biggest stages that they can reach, to the highest levels of their career, but they still slip up now and again, and they still need help. It's interesting to talk to celebrities who are Christian and to hear how their own faith helps them through those tough times, and there's all kinds of stuff you can read online about their own stories. You know, when an athlete gets injured, it's their faith in God that gets them through the healing process. You look at other public figures who slip and fail. They lose influence. They lose status. It's interesting to hear them talk about how they just kind of trust in God that they're going to pop up somewhere else and have the opportunity to continue have God use them in some way using their God-given gifts. They will trust that God will use them in whatever way He will lead them. After all, that's what they're about, really. They're not there to glorify themselves, but the God who created them. They want to use their gifts and their platforms to give glory to God. Now, sure, there are exceptions to every rule. Not every so-called Christian celebrity actually really acts like a Christian a whole lot. But the ones I've come across, while they're not necessarily international stars, they do try and act like a Christian wherever they go. And it's not easy. They make mistakes. They have people to please. They have sponsors they need to honor. They have managers. They have engagements and competitions and speaking all over the place. And they're under constant public scrutiny for who they are. And it adds a lot of pressure and stress to their lives. And so they acknowledge they need help. They acknowledge they need Jesus. And they know it. And so to have conversations with these people is quite refreshing. Especially when we look at them and say, well, they've got it all put together. Well, they don't. It's good to know that I'm not the only one who struggles at times to be a public figure, although much lower scale than the rest of them. And to still be faithful and trusting in God while feeling the pressures that the world places upon us. Paul's letter to the Philippians is a good reminder of these things as he talks about living in humility. Remember last week we were talking about idols as Paul was talking to the church in Athens, the people of Athens actually. And he talked about the need to submit ourselves to the God of the universe, the God, our God, who created everything and all of us and all these things and how this God, our God, is closer than we can ever really know. We shouldn't put up other idols, other objects, other things in the place of our worship of God. So continuing this week, looking at Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, he says that if you are encouraged through your faith in Christ, that if you get comfort from his love, if you feel compassion, then you should live like it. You should share the love, the compassion, the comfort, the encouragement, as Christ gives it to you. Now that's what Jesus has asked of us, if you look at his life. He asks that we go out and continue his ministry of love, compassion, comfort, and even healing, he tells us, as we follow in his ways. And like the Christians I've already mentioned, we shouldn't be looking to gain from these things, but we should offer these gifts humbly and in the interest of helping others, helping them realize the gifts God has for them. And Paul goes on to write these wonderful words about Jesus. He says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now we need to remember, and we should know this, that Jesus is from God, he is God, and he has returned to God. But he didn't flaunt it. He didn't use his divine nature for his own personal gain. He used it to help others, to the point there were even times where he would say, "Don't tell anyone what I just did." He didn't need the attention. He didn't want the attention. That's not why he did these things. He performed his miracles, he healed people, he fed people, he forgave people, he taught people because it was the right thing to do. Now think about it. Jesus, he could have made millions doing what he was doing. He could have said, "You want to be healed? $50. And he could have brought in all kinds of money. He could have had a giant mansion. He could have had a pile of servants at his beck and call while he walked around the house in his bathrobe. But he didn't do that. That's not what Jesus was about. In fact, if he had done it all for his own personal gain, it would most certainly have negated his message of love, compassion, and hope that he was trying to spread. There are plenty of examples in the world, even religious leaders, Christians, who have taken advantage of these things of people for personal gain. And it never ends well. Not for those he supposedly helped, nor for those who are helping, that they were helping either. Jesus, instead of becoming rich, he actually lived quite poorly. He depended on the generosity of friends and even strangers for food, for a place to sleep, each and every day. As Paul says, he made himself nothing. He made himself a servant of the people, a sacrifice even, as he gave up his life on the cross just to show people how far God was willing to go to show them his love and compassion. And then 3 days later, he rose from the grave, leaving behind the empty tomb. Jesus returned to his Father in the name, and his name was raised above every other name. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now you might wonder, what do you mean, Savior of the world? I mean, Jesus has come not only for the people who saw him face to face, not only for those he helped as he walked the roads, but Jesus came for us too, even today. That's the sign of the empty tomb, that his work is not over. Death has not won because Jesus is still alive. He is still doing God's work and saving sinners like me and you. At the same time, Jesus encourages us to help others in his name as he helps us. If you've been saved by Jesus, then Jesus wants you to help others as he has helped you, even if you think that what he has done is even a small thing. Every small thing counts. Every little thing that we take to Jesus and he removes from our life, it enhances our relationship with God. And we're better connected to our Father in heaven than if we just let it be. I think I've shared this before, but I used to listen to what I'll call angry music. And even when I became a Christian, I kept listening to angry music with language and all sorts of things. Then one day I was flipping through the radio stations and I came across the Christian radio station. And I listened to it for a bit. As a Christian, I figured I should see what the Christian music scene looks like. And I enjoyed it. So I stopped listening to the angry music and I started listening to the Christian music, the Christ-filled music. And things changed. When I gave up listening to the angry music and started listening to the uplifting and Christian music, even though I enjoyed both, I felt my relationship with God change dramatically. Even though I saw this as a pretty small thing to do, a very, very small change in my life, God used it far more than I ever thought he could. And I noticed it rather quickly. Now, sure, sometimes a small change does not impact us quickly. Sometimes it takes a long time before we realize what has actually happened, but it does make a difference. Even the small things make a difference in our relationship with God. We need to humble ourselves before God, submit ourselves to Jesus and his example for our life. It's not a waste of time. It's life-giving. It's life-changing in a good way. We all need more Jesus in our lives. We should be craving more Jesus in our lives, no matter where you are in your faith journey, your spiritual journey. God desires more for you. God wants a deeper relationship with you. God wants to share his infinite blessings with you. If you look at the state of Canada these days, there's a lot going on in politics. We've got the election in Ontario going on with all kinds of debate. We're looking ahead to our own federal election in the next year or so. We've got a leadership race on the go here in Nova Scotia with particular local interests. We've also got a heated debate going on these days about whether or not Cape Breton is getting its fair share of the tax money of the pot of money that Ottawa sends to the province. And all of this means there's a lot of complaining going on. Politicians are attacking one another. The news has all kinds of opinion pieces on the go, and why wouldn't they? Because the more debate that's going on, the more news is able to sell itself. More newspapers get sold, more people watch news, more people listen to news. It appeals to more people, more customers for them. My question is this, though. With all the complaining and all the attacking of one another, does it really excite you? Does it get you fired up in the morning, ready to take on the day? I'll confess, I've stopped watching the news for the most part. I pay attention to some stuff going on. I'll read a story here and there, but I've tried to tune a lot of it out. Why? It's depressing. Yet there it is, dominating our screens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. Election campaigns have gone from being some excitement about what this candidate can do for you to being a painful marathon of attacks and complaining and the feeling of, is it over yet? And the changes came, when you think about it, kind of quickly over the last couple of decades. I remember when I used to be excited for elections to see what governments and candidates were putting forward to improve Canada. But now it just feels like they're pointing out what's wrong with one another and complaining and the faults and the failures. And these complaining and the fighting, it just exhausts me. This constant attack of pointing out failures makes me just want to stay in bed all day and pull the covers up over my head, right? And Christians, we're guilty of this too. On social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, I see Christians attacking one another every day. It drives me crazy. Where in the Bible does it say to tear down one another, to tear down believers in the name of Jesus Christ? Someone help me because I can't find it. We are called to share in love. We are called to love our brothers and sisters in the church. And even if we disagree, Jesus says, go to one another in love. I like what Paul says towards the end of our reading. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Submit to God, which, yes, can be a scary thing because who knows what God is going to do in your life. But just let him sort it out for you. None of us have it all figured out, which is why we need each other so much. It's also why we need to love and respect one another. If we as Christians cannot act in love towards each other, then what message does that send to the unchurched, the rest of the world? It tells the rest of the world that we don't live as Jesus asks us to live. And that turns people away from God's message of love. And the church will suffer because of it. We need to listen to what God has for us. Paul reminds us it is God who works in us in order to fulfill his purpose. We need to submit ourselves humbly. We need to seek his direction in our lives. We need to take that scary step and say to God, would you just sort out my salvation for me? And let him bring about the changes required that we need to enter into a continually deepening relationship with him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, even if it feels a little scary at times. Yet even in the fear and the trembling, God is at work. And one could argue he's even most at work in our lives at those times. Because we belong to God, and we have been created to worship God and to exalt his name. This is what Jesus has shown us. The same Jesus Christ, the one before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is all, that he is Lord of all, to the glory of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of all creation. You are the one who is the King of this earth. You are God among us, showing us how to live. So we ask you, Jesus, show us how to live. Show us how to love our neighbors as you so love us. Show us the errors of our ways and bring us into the family of God, our Father in heaven. Bring us peace and comfort. Bring us hope and joy. Bring us all the gifts our Father wishes to bestow upon us when we submit our lives to you. Yes, Jesus, this is a scary thing for us to consider, but we also know, in the end, all things are for God's glory, and we will be blessed. And we thank you for this. Walk with us, be in us, and show us the way everlasting. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.